wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance with you here all morning long. I'm in Denver, brought to you by Coors Light this morning, Lance. I'm going to tell you what, Coors Light getting it done in Denver today, hanging out. Went to the game yesterday. Great stadium. It was a lot of fun. A lot of Boot Birds. I was really surprised at the Boot Birds out there yesterday. They are not happy. Not happy with Nathaniel Hackett. Not at all.
He got one game. One game. He's got to go.
This was their first home game, right? Because they were in Seattle.
Literally, he just got, I mean, he's got to go. He's already got to go.
He's got to, no. Well, he, so can you explain, okay, so we're going to get into it. The Texans did, again, just Texaned it. It was just same old, it's the same old Texans. It's the same old stuff. Davis Mills is, you know, proving that he can make some plays, but he just doesn't have that. He just doesn't have what you have to have in two games. I'm going to give it some more time, obviously, but these two games have shown, and I know everybody's already made up their minds. I see Twitter, everybody's going crazy about Davis Mills and that he's just not the guy and he sucks and all this stuff. Got to give him a little bit more time. He started slow last year and he picked it up, but he just doesn't make plays that you have to make. As so many balls that are actually not even hard throws that he's just missing on. And it seems like it wasn't last year. He was so poised. He doesn't have that poise. He threw a couple into the ground, especially in a big situation. Anytime you need a big pass from him, it just doesn't. He just doesn't. Now he doesn't have Tua's weapons. He just doesn't. I understand that the guys aren't nearly as open. But even when they are, he just is missing passes that he just can't miss, and he's just got to get better. And I don't know that that's going to happen. We'll see. As of right now, Davis Mills isn't the guy. He's just not. He's going to have to really, really pick it up if he's going to be the guy. But how is it that we're going to kick a field goal to win the game if we get to the 46? But they were on the 41 in Denver, where the air is, you know, is thinner, where the ball travels further, and he punted. Nathaniel Hackett, how does that? I don't understand that.
The decision making is is really off with him right now. I mean, it's play calling, and we're starting to find that maybe Pep is not cut out for play calling. Maybe he's just supposed to be a quarterback coach. Maybe Nathaniel Hackett's not supposed to be a head coach. He's just supposed to be a coordinator, because they gushed about Nathaniel Hackett and what he meant for Aaron Rodgers and the importance in last night's game, about how Nathaniel Hackett, who came over from Green Bay, was so important for Brett Favre and that offense. And all I know is that sometimes you rise to a level that you're not really made for, including potentially Davis Mills. So I don't know. Hackett's decision making, Hackett's offense, Russell Wilson. You know, it's really funny. Davis Mills, this is the difference. Davis Mills, okay, so last year, Davis Mills, I guess he played better. You had, you know, you only have two games so far, but, and it was, well, Tim Kelly is the problem. I mean, it's Tim Kelly. It's not Davis Mills. This is a Tim Kelly problem. So as soon as he's gone and Pep's in, well, this is when we take off. Well, now it's not happening. I think Pep has been wildly, wildly predictable and boring with a lot of the way he's calling it. Now it's a Davis Mills problem. It's not a Pep Hamilton / play calling problem. The problem is, I got news for you. Right now it's a both problem. It is Lovey's decision making, because you know what? Now you lose this game and you go back, and what if you had gone for it and pulled off a win against the Colts? What you know, you might look at Davis Mills a little differently. If he had made a play, you know, made a play and got a touchdown. Look at the fans' reactions to Davis Mills now. Last week was a tie that felt like a loss. it basically was a loss. It was a tie that felt like a loss to the fans. They go out with a bad taste in their mouth. Then you have a bad, what I thought was just a just remarkably sub-pedestrian effort from Davis Mills. So now the feeling is yucky Davis Mills. At least if you gave the kid a chance to make a play, he would have he would have had a chance to earn the fans' respect a little bit right now. Russell Wilson has not played well, but he's got the fans' respect. I mean, Russell Wilson is just not the same guy right now.
No.
Maybe it's because it's new teammates, new system. Maybe that's it. But he hasn't felt like the same guy for like over a year and a half now and headed into a new season. So now Russell Wilson, but he's got a background on his side. He's got cachet. He's got a history where you let him go a little bit. Davis Mills doesn't have that history, so people want Davis Mills out. Fact is, Davis Mills had never really proven anything other than he had a good game against the Chargers. It's really what most people hang their hats on. It's what, you know, we all wanted to. We all wanted to believe that was going to be the guy. That was what Tim Kelly calling plays. Deshaun Watson had his best season of his career with Tim Kelly calling plays. So I don't know that getting rid of Tim Kelly, a lot of people acted like that may have needed to happen. It didn't mean it was going to fix anything. Needing to happen, I don't think it was a Tim Kelly issue. I think it was, you just got to hit reset. Let Lovie Smith get his own guys. But right now, Pep Hamilton and Davis Mills are not creating an explosive offense at all unless they've got some help from interceptions on screen passes by Matt Ryan and fumbles on exchange of snaps. They're just not able to get down the field and finish in the red zone. They were able to get down the field a couple times yesterday, but where's the finish, John? It's a field goal kicking unit. There's no finish in this team. And the defense is hanging on and holding up. The defense is saying, hey, we're giving you a chance, guys. We're giving you a chance. Can you do something offensively? And right now, it's not good, and it is – and it is on Lovie, Pep, Davis Mills, all three of them right now.
Yeah. It's so boring. Put the kid in and leave the kid in. Goodness gracious. He's breaking tackles. He's picking up 5, 6, 7, 8 yards.
Damian Pierce?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say not Davis.
No. Leave the kid in. Let him run the ball. He's so much more of a threat. Oh, well, it's a passing down, so Rex Burkhead had – no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And then, oh, by the way, maybe in a passing situation, they think you're going to pass, but then you run Damian Pierce and he picks up a first. I don't know anything, but I just don't – are you kidding me how good Damian Pierce looked at times yesterday? They got him on a drive, and then they just – he's picking up 8, 9 yards. And then it's a pass, and we got – and then he doesn't see the field again for the rest of the drive. That dude's a finisher. You don't know if he is going to break one. You don't know. He's explosive. I mean, maybe he doesn't have the break. You know who he reminded me of yesterday, Lance, watching him live?
Who?
He reminded me a little of Walter Payton. He really
because
did.
Because the way he runs, powerful.
The way he runs, how he runs people over. He doesn't have that same burst. You know, Walter didn't have that great burst. Walter got caught from behind plenty. He wasn't the fastest guy in the world. But he would break tackles. He would run as hard as he possibly could. He's got that same kind of attitude when he runs. And that's saying something because I love Walter. I think Walter Payton's one of my favorite athletes. He is one of my favorite athletes of all time. And for me to say, I'm telling you, I'm watching him and I'm going, my goodness, he's got that same aggression and hard running. And I'm going to bull you over. He's got a little slip to him too. So and just leave him in the game. Good. Like he's 20. We got to give him a rest. No. And we got to put in Rex Burkhead. No, you don't. No, you don't. Let the kid catch some passes. You never know. Throw a swing pass to him. He might break a couple of tackles. And who knows what he's going to do with it? Put your best players on the field already. Stop with what you. Stop. With what you do, because it sucks. What you do sucks. That's all there is to it. What they do right now, what they're doing right now sucks. So do something different. They gave him the ball more this week. You know what? Leave him in there now. Rex Burkhead is done. Why do you have to have – well, we got to have a Rex. No, you don't. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. You got to go win some games. Go finish some drives. But, man, well, it didn't help at all that Brandon Cooks drops that ball. I mean, he's got him right on the goal line. It goes right through his hands.
Look, Davis Mills could have been helped out a couple of times over the last two games. You could have pointed to certain games. I mean, once again, Davis may very well not be the guy. I was just not fully invested. He just has not shown enough, including last year, that to warrant the hype train. But I get being hopeful. But there's a difference between hopeful and hype. And the hopeful part is still, you know, you still, maybe some people's hope meters have gone down a little bit. But I still think Pep Hamilton has a chance to get better at what he's doing. Davis Mills has a chance to get better at what he's doing. I mean, Nico Collins for a large chunk of that game was not a factor. I do think that having Dameon Pierce as a primary back, look, Dameon Pierce runs with an attitude that is rarely seen, and he has lower body power to go along with it. He's going to burn out earlier than most backs because that's just the nature of when you run like that, when you are that rugged, it's hard to keep that going. Well, then you better get him the rock now. You better start getting as much as you can get out of him. Just like you say, John, he's got to get the football. This is going to have to be it's going to have to be play action passing. It's going to have to be, you know, throwing on early downs to get ahead of the sticks. They're going to have to manufacture drives down the field. But more importantly, even if you're doing that, John, Kaimi Fairbairn's making his field goals. Okay, great. They're just field goals. You can't win this kick and field goals. The Houston Texans just cannot win kick and field goals. And Brandon Cooks has to do his job. You can't have drops when you know that points are at a premium for the Houston Texans. Oh. I mean, they're absolutely at a premium.
That was a killer. That was a killer, him dropping that football. They got to step up. Nobody's stepping up. Anytime they got to get a stop. I mean, the defense played pretty well. I think, I tell you this, that Denver's not very good. It's just not a very good football team. They should have blown the Texans out yesterday, and they didn't. They're just not a very good football team. So they've got their problems here. We got our own problems. We got Davis Mills and Pep Hamilton, and just suck is what we got here. That they were going to be good, Lance, that's the underdog, isn't it?
Yeah, that was. That's why that number was 4.5. But Underdog Fantasy is here to take care of you and let you have a really fun time. I continue to monitor my Best Ball Mania 3. I had Tyreek Hill in one of my Best Ball Mania leagues, which is the best ball format that we drafted during the summer. And so whoever my highest total points are, that's who in the best ball format. You don't have to have starting lineups. You don't make roster changes. They've got best ball available. They've got available to you. They've got, make sure you send me your underdog username or whatever you need to, because we're going to have games going. As a matter of fact, we could draft for tonight's games because you have Monday Night Football games going tonight. So we're going to get into daily fantasy tonight. Direct message me your underdog, and I will create a league and I'll send it out, and we will play for real money. That's how we can do that today. Make sure you send me your username, and I will reach out to me in direct message on Twitter, and I'll send you that link. Now, how about the high lows? Are you playing the high lows? If you went low on Davis Mills yesterday on his total passing yards, you were a winner. High low allows you in the pick'em format, you can go high or low. You can pick anywhere from 2, 3, 4, 5 different plays, high low on player stats across different sports, by the way. And if you win, you win great multipliers. For example, if you pick just 2 of them right, you win 3 times your original play. If you pick 5 right, you win 20 times your original play. You know these sports. You know baseball. You know football. Now is your chance to take your knowledge and win actual money, whether it's in daily fantasy or the pick'em contest. The high-low is an easy way for you to start scoring right away if you know your sports. Go to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code Lance, and they'll match your first deposit up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com. Promo code Lance for $100 or up to $100 match Whenever you make your first deposit, it's underdogfantasy.com, promo code Lance.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 live from Denver, brought to you by Coors Light and Damaris Barbecue. Hey, don't smoke wings. Perfectly smoked, tender, and juicy. They're wonderful. These bad boys going to knock your socks off. Rumor has it a certain college head football coach taught them the recipe. That's not true. Stop by Damaris for lunch or dinner. Well, and speaking of Dana, the Cougs did not look good against. I'll tell you this, though. That guy. Hey, listen, I've seen a lot of option. I ran the option in high school, Lance. And, you know, it's not the same level, obviously. But I know a thing or two about it. That dude is really, really, really good at it. Jalen Daniels can run. He can get hit the corner. He can. I mean, there's a reason that team is 3-0. There's a reason they're putting up. They put up 52. They put up 48. The first couple of series of the game, it looked like, wow, this is Kansas, same old Kansas. And then, holy crap, that dude is just so hard to tackle.
Kansas is substantially better than Houston. Like,
oh yeah.
Should have been an 8-point favorite, not an 8-point dog. They should have been an 8-point favorite. The line makers are slow to catch up with Kansas. The bad news is, are they just slow to catch up with who Houston is? I mean, that's the scary part right there.
Speaking of boring offense and just not getting it done, not finishing, Clayton Tune's not the same guy that he was in the middle of last year. It's just not. I mean, I hate to say it. He's holding onto the ball. I don't know if guys are just not open downfield. I was there and I was above, so I could see. He's more hesitant. The guys aren't as open. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know what their passing schemes are. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. They don't get the ball to Tank enough. They just don't. It's not as good as it's supposed to be. It's just not. They're just not as good. The offensive line is a bit of a problem. It really is. But Clayton's not as good as he was. And he, you know, as the season goes on, hopefully he'll get it back. But this is just, it's just not great. Now, they did have the issue, and this is what made headlines everywhere, was the issue on the sideline with Samuel Brown and Manjack. So they're driving down the field. They get inside the 10-yard line. I think they were 21 down at the time. So they're fighting their way back in. There's still plenty of time for them to come back and win the game. His crowd is back into it. You know, they're moving the ball. They come up with a big play, and then all of a sudden, Brown and one of the Kansas guys are fighting right after they pick up the first down. Well, after they break them up, penalty flags all over the place. Who knows what the refs are going to call? Is it the second guy? You know, sometimes that's the case. They're not going to call it on both guys. So you're worried that you just got down there, you know, at first and goal to go, and that's going to push you back and kill the drive. So they're not only three guys pushed him off the field. They separated him. They pushed him. They hit him. They pushed him to the sideline, and he goes over to and stands on the sideline. And Manjack comes off the field and just goes at it on him and just kills him. Just starts fighting. I'm standing right next to it. I was down on the field. I'm standing right next to it, and I was like, oh my God. Here's Dana afterwards, after the game, talking about the Manjack and Brown kerfuffle on the sideline.
I've been talking discipline all week. And, you know, I don't know how many penalties we had and all that, but I think we're a little down on the penalties. But it just stupid crap and penalties. And, you know, there are some things out there that we did, again, that was dumb. Okay, so Sam got cheap-shotted, and he responded the inappropriate way. When you retaliate, you're going to get caught. And so I put that in the undisciplined, stupid crap category. He should have threw his hands up and ran his tail to the sidelines. That's what we tell him to do. Well, he went after the guy. stupid. It was offsetting penalties. But Manjack, who is a fierce competitor and one of the hardest workers we got and is a team guy, he will have a C on his chest at some point around here. He saw Sam retaliate and was pissed because all we do is talk about not doing that, you know, and we've got to continue to get that stuff out of our program. Unacceptable, and you're not going to win games like this when you do stuff like that. And it's my job to continue to harp on that and get our guys to do what I tell them to do or not to do. Manjack took it upon himself to go over there and confront Sam, which is not the right thing to do. He was dead wrong and shouldn't have done it and knows it and felt bad about it. And 2 minutes later, hugged it out with Sam, and those guys are buddies, and they, you know, he apologized.
You know what? I agree wholeheartedly. I will say this. I was Team Manjack when that happened. I can't stand when guys are selfish. I just can't. And you're selfish. This is a team game, and you gotta be able to control yourself. You've got to have some discipline. And you know what? People are talking about, well, Dana's losing. Look at, there's fighting on the sidelines. That fight on the sideline was about the team. That's what that fight was about. The guy was being selfish, and he shouldn't have been. And I'm on Team Manjack on this one. You know what? You're gonna act like you're gonna be selfish. I'm gonna come over, and you know what? You ain't gonna be selfish no more. So I maybe Manjack apologized. If I was him, I wouldn't apologize.
Well, teammates are gonna. Sometimes you got to have somebody on the team check a player. Like,
yep.
That ain't gonna. You know, if the team isn't, you want them to respond to the coach. Here's a bigger problem. Dana mentioned it. I mean, he said, I think we were lower on the penalties. Oh yeah, you were lower. I mean, it went from 11 in game one to 12 in game two, only 10 in game three. You're averaging a 10.7 turnover. Well, actually, you're averaging 11 penalties a game. 11 penalties a game. But it's so it's tied for 130th in the nation. The only person worse is Louisiana Lafayette, the only team. They're averaging 11.5. The Cougars have hit double digits in penalties for three straight games. That's atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious. The second game is for 126 yards. It was offsetting penalties, and I saw somebody make that excuse for Brown's action. Listen, apparently this is, I mean, Dana's got some guys that he probably needs to portal out of there that probably need to go. If you either get on board and you are going to all be pulling towards the same thing, or you got real problems. And, you know, I tell you what, now, Houston fans are expecting a whole lot more than this to start the season. I know they are extraordinarily upset. And, you know, the tough thing for Dana is, you know, he's getting paid. Houston is he is well paid for a non-Power 5 head coach. There's certain expectations there. And when you look at Tom Herman, Kevin Sumlin, Art Briles, these guys all were successful at University of Houston. They were, you know, there was a string of successes for them before they went on to other jobs. The thing that made Dana such an intriguing and inspiring selection is he's a guy who wanted to be in Houston. More than likely, he wasn't going to go to another spot. This is what he really wanted to do, was get into the Big 12 and stay in Houston. This is where he wants to live. And it was not, he went from a Power 5 to a non-Power 5. It was almost unheard of, and yet the results just have been nowhere near what the expectations were. And this year, it is they had a rough start last year, but it ended up with, you know, they had a win against, who was it, John? Was it Navy or, golly, early in the season, they had, I think it was Navy.
It was Navy.
And it was not good in the first half. Houston is, Dana's got to get these guys more ready in the first half. I mean, well, they just don't show up at all.
They led 14-0.
Well, they led 14-0, and then they were down before you knew it, 28-14. Yeah. They were down by 14. They go into the half down 14. That's what they do. That can't happen.
They came back before the half, and they cut it. Yeah, they were down 14. Right.
They were down 14.
Well, they were down 21, and they cut it to 15 because he missed missed the extra point. So it was 15 at the half, which is it's just unacceptable. Yeah, you're right. Now, they did come out, though. They came out, and they were up 14-0, and you're like, holy cow. And then all of a sudden, it just – the defense – listen, I'm going to tell you how good Jalen Daniels is at quarterback for Kansas, but the defense has got to be better. They did not set the edge. How many times did they get outside? How many times did they fall for that ball fake and let Jalen Daniels get outside? There was no lane. There was no setting the edge. They did not. There was no discipline defensively as far as stopping that run, stopping that guy. And that's the only way you can, is to be disciplined. But they bit on that fake all day.
And five touchdowns, three passing, two rushing.
It was unbelievable. Just stop biting on it. Stop, stop, stop. He's got to turn around. They got to be better. They're not ready for the Big 12. I think they proved that because Texas Tech and Kansas are middle of the pack, Big 12 teams. Kansas is, I hate to say it, but Kansas may be an upper echelon a Big 12 team. But you know what? Whatever. Whatever the case may be, they're not ready for the Big 12 right now. They're just not good enough. He's going to have to go get better players, and they're going to have to be a hell of a lot more disciplined in the way that they play and in their penalties and everything else, because they're just not. And speaking of discipline, when Jimbo Fisher's job, I mean, this was maybe the biggest game Jimbo Fisher had in his career here at Texas A&M because of just losing to App State and the way, holy crap, this whole thing could just possibly fall apart. He's got four guys that go out the night that sneak out the night before and are suspended for the game, including, you know, his star wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? You know, Zornman made that culture, wrote that culture article last week. And sure enough, when the chips are down the way that they were for them, they're sneaking out and breaking curfew. Are you kidding me?
Multiple players.
Yeah, four of them.
Yeah, two receivers, two DBs, and then you lose two DBs to targeting inside the game for the Aggies. They were both the right calls. I know the Aggie fans weren't happy about it, but it really goes to the fact that you got to know who you're recruiting. You got to know who you're bringing in. Sometimes it's just immaturity, and these are young guys. Sometimes it's immaturity, and they grow up, and you get that. And then other times you find out you have guys that probably don't fit in with what you want your culture to be of football character and things like that. There's going to be more players now with the way there's so much entitlement and enabling from parents, from coaches, from followers, you know, hangers-on. It's going to be harder. I mean, you're going to have to sift through. It used to be you could see those type of players. You know, it was the 90s and even 2000s, you could kind of see those players coming a mile away. It's going to be more the norm now that you're going to have to deal with this with a lot of five-star guys, especially with NIL. NIL is going to drift into high school. So they're going to be given a lot of money and told they're the best on social media and through parents and coaches and all that. You're going to have to have guys who really want to be part of something beyond themselves, because that was a game, as you mentioned, John, that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you're not 18, 19 years old and you've watched sports like we have, you understand, man, that's a linchpin game. Now your season can go all the way off the tracks if you lose that one to Miami. And I think for a young player, you don't see it that way. You just see it. It's a football game. We're going to go out. We're not doing anything wrong. We're just going to go try to, you know, go out, get some tail, whatever they're trying to do. I mean, let's, you know, this should be real about it. And the problem is that kind of stuff can, when you have that many players doing it, that can really send you in a bad direction. So hopefully Jimbo gets that. But he had to suspend him. After that article, he had to suspend him.
Oh, absolutely. And he did the right thing. And you know what? They won. And they had some discipline, and they showed that you can't do that. That's a five-star recruit, Evan Stewart. That's a five-star wide receiver. Huge for the team to not have him. And yet he wasn't there for him. All right, we got to take a break. 713-780-3776. Still to come, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? That's going to be coming your way in just about 15 minutes right here. Get your what you learned in one sentence ready, and you're going to be calling in about 15 minutes. But first, what about some seats?
Simple Seats, they've got you taken care of. We are down the stretch here in the Astros season. And are you going to go watch some games before the playoffs start? You can get some really reasonably priced tickets right now at Simple Seats for that. Maybe you want to go to a college football game. Maybe you want to get to a Texans game. They've got Billy Joel tickets right now at Simple Seats. So Simple Seats can get their hands on a lot of different events. And, of course, right now we're talking about the great opportunity with Simple Seats, hooking you up with Astros tickets. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Diamondbacks are in town the 27th. That's 8 days from now. Right now, you can get in there for $10 in the building for $10 tickets. Remember, when I tell you $10, there's no fees. So if you buy $2, you know, four tickets at $10, those are $40 worth, and then you'll pay your tax, and there will never be a fee. No transaction, no convenience fees, none of that ridiculous, you know, ironic convenience fees. Oh, thanks for all this convenience. This is digital. What is convenient about it? You know, at Simple Seats, they say, look, our fee structure, we will price what our tickets are, and we're never going to add fees. And you can take a look at that. You can use promo code Lance10. You're going to get $10 off your first order of $50 or more. But this is what we're, you know, Astros and Rays on September 30th on a Friday, $17 to get in. That's just in the building. You can go find your seat in your area. You can sit in an area, a zone. They're calling it zone seating. You get a discount on top of that, or you can pick the exact seats that you are looking for. But the bottom line is nobody beats the prices from Simple Seats because they never have fees. Go to simpleseats.com, promo code Lance10, and this is going to be the only place that you're buying tickets from for events here in the city of Houston.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Hey, time to talk about my man, Mike Holly, over at HRP. Just awesome. I texted him this weekend, as a matter of fact, seeing if he's a big kook, seeing if he was going to the game. He was out of town, so he couldn't go to the game. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter what your team, what team that you love, what team that you are rooting for. It just doesn't matter. All you got to do is go see my peeps over at HRP, and they're going to put together a great plan for your business. That's the most important thing, your business, your bottom line. Are you doing it economically? Are you paying too much for payroll? Do you have too many people in there? And oh, by the way, when your business is growing, get it done better, because it's perfect every single time. We just got paid last week. It is unbelievable. And the tax and the Affordable Care Act and everything else that they take care of as well, and the HR that they take care of for us as well, it's just perfect. It'll be perfect for you. It'll be the greatest plan that you have. It'll be absolutely perfect. So all you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you at 713-780-3776. We haven't even talked about the Astros yet. I mean, honestly, thank God it's over. No more A's. I mean, I know you want to win all those games and everything else, but my goodness, it's just so bad to see the A's all the time. I'm so tired. I know 11-2, but what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything, because it's the A's. You ain't seeing the A's in the postseason. I wish we could bring them with us. I really do. Carry them along. Carry them in our duffel bags, and let us. And they can come. You want to come and play with us in the postseason? That'd be great, A's. But you suck. And so it's so good. Hey, Tampa's in the middle of this thing. You're at Tampa tonight with Garcia against Rasmussen. Then you got Javier McClanahan. What? McClanahan's back. He's back off. And then McCullers Jr. and Kluber. This could be the team that you face in the division series. Who knows how this thing is going to finish, because Toronto and Tampa and Seattle are all every day. It's different. So have no idea. Just a couple of weeks left in the season now, and you got a pretty good. And that place, Lance, we can't go back to Tampa. I mean, I think that's the team that you want to play, because they just can't hit the ball. And with your pitching, it'll just be dominant. But that place is just awful.
Yeah.
That stadium is the worst. We went for the division series. It's like 1950s. It's awful, awful, awful.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't have any domes then.
Not good. Not good. But wherever you play them, they've got to deal with new Yordan, or old Yordan, actually. The old Yordan is officially back. Two more doubles yesterday. Yordan has 6 home runs in September right now. He had 1 in all of August. He had 7 in July. He's got six right now. Over his last 7 days, he has 5 home runs, 10 RBIs, and an 1,800 OPS. In the last 15 days, he's got a 1,355 OPS with 6 homers and 13 RBIs. Yordan not only is seeing the ball great, he's driving the ball, and he looks like his old self right now. Mentally, he looks so much sharper. He hit a wall, and obviously there were some physical issues with it. Dusty, you know, Yordan is a little sore with a hand. Yordan comes out, has his own press conference. I'm not sore. I know what the hell Dusty's talking about. And then he comes out and starts mashing the ball the very next time out once he's in the game. So Fromber officially holds the Major League Baseball record now. You didn't even mention that because it's just like ho-hum, another quality start for Fromber. 25 consecutive starts. He holds that record now. He no longer is tied with Jacob deGrom. This is Fromber's record at 25 consecutive starts. And it's not crazy to think that he could just end the season with a consecutive start streak. I mean, you know, the A's were not going to be the team that broke it, that's for sure. And Fromber with 7 strikeouts yesterday, just kind of a ho-hum Fromber effort, did what he usually does. And Astros roll yesterday 11-2. But it's been really nice to see Kyle Tucker get out of it, Yuli, you know, show some signs of life, and then Yordan, most importantly, Yordan, get back to being the Yordan that we saw early in the season, because Jose Altuve has just quietly been raking the ball. He's, John, your magic 300, he's at 290. I don't think he's going to be able to get there. Still 10 points to go, but just really has been an impressive second half of the season for Jose Altuve as well. So when you look at the lineup, this is about as well as the lineup has played together, like the meshing of Altuve and Bregman and Yordan and Kyle Tucker. Those are the big four. It all feels like it's kind of coming together at the right time for him.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. The magic numbers now, 3 for the division, 1 for a bye into the ALDS, which means they would have better than the third place record, and then 9 for home field ALCS. So that's the magic number, really, because you know what, the division's over. They're 15 games back. It's over. There's the hoop. You know, that's not fair. Astros, that's, you know, that's just blah. It's like winning the division in the NBA now. Who cares? The home field advantage means something. Home field advantage throughout means something. How are you going to bang trash cans? How are you going to have your buzzers? You got to have them perfect.
Yeah, got to have your buzzers going.
You got to have your buzzers perfect for the postseason. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be that magic number is not. You're right. Fromber has just been fantastic. He talked about. I don't know. I can't tell with Dusty. I just can't tell whether or not he likes the streak or not. If he can continue to do this down the stretch, I think his next start is going to be against Baltimore. So, you know, if he can do that against a nice lineup like Baltimore, and then he'll probably face Tampa again, because you got Tampa, Baltimore, then Tampa again. You got Philly at the end of the year. I don't know how they're going to do it, because you're going to have 5 days off between the end of the season and the start of the division series. So maybe they'll want to get him in the weekend against the Phillies. That'll be nice, because otherwise you've got so much time off. We'll see how this all works out. But Fromber's just been fantastic, just fantastic. And the way Urquidy is pitching lately, his last couple of outings, there's no question. It's McCullers in the third, in the three hole. There's no question, because Urquidy has not been the same guy these last couple of outings. He just hasn't. He just has been throwing stuff up there. He's not the same guy that was as dominant as he was. So Lance McCullers now has moved into that three spot. The way that he's throwing, holy crap. You've got Verlander, followed by Fromber, followed by McCullers. I'm ready. Let's go. Enough of this. I'm done with this regular season stuff. Let's move on. I'll tell you what'd you learn this weekend? Well, I learned Urquidy isn't that good, but we got all kinds of stuff. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776.
Well, you turned on Urquidy in a dime.
Well, he hasn't looked good. I'm sorry, but you gotta pitch well. You know what? I'm doing this for the team.
Either you believe in him or you don't.
I believe in him. He's gonna be the fourth starter, but you know, I'm gonna say I'm gonna call a spade a spade. The dude is
not
pitching
His last two games have been atrocious.
He's been
11.
Bad,
so. He's given up 12 earned runs the last 11 innings. It's been really bad.
No. So I mean, I'm sorry. I love the guy. You know me. I'm number one Urquidy guy. But you know what? McCullers is in the three hole now. Sorry.
Hey, you sure he's in the four hole if he's pitching like this and not Javier or Garcia?
I mean, you better pull it.
You better pull it out. I mean, the A's scoring, getting six earned runs on you in any game is a cry for help.
It's not something that I want to take to the New York Yankees or the Toronto Blue Jays. That's for sure. All right, taking a break. When we come back, I don't care what it is. It could be anything. It could be about your wife. It could be about your boss. It could be about what did you learn this weekend? And one sentence, 713-780-3776. What did you learn about insurance, Lance?
Well, what I learned years ago was, because I've been using TGS Insurance for years, I learned that when you don't shop for your rates, when you don't look for competitive rates, you end up taking the worst of it. And that's every single time out. You are going to take the worst of it unless you are shopping for rates. And make sure that you check out your homeowner's insurance, because that's something that really needs to be taken care of. You really need to take care of your rates. They're historically, you're looking at about a $900 savings annually when you shop through TGS Insurance. TGS Insurance, what they do is they shop a variety of A-rated insurance all at one time. You just text the word money to 232323. That starts the ball rolling on them looking for insurance rates for you. And they look through a variety of A-rated insurance companies. So you're getting the same coverage you have now. If you want additional coverages, flood coverage, additional coverages for, you know, guns or your jewelry or your RV out front, they can do all of that for you. But I'm just telling you right now, you've got to make sure that you're shopping prices, because competitive rates aren't going to show up in your email box from the company you're with year after year after year. They don't do it. In fact, the rates go up. So text the word money to 232323. The word money to 232323, and it starts the process of getting a homeowner's quote within 15 seconds. That's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955. What is it that you need representing? Listen, it sucks if you got to have a lawyer, right? I mean, it just sucks. Something went wrong. You're doing, I mean, or somebody wronged you. It could be the case. A doctor wronged you. You had some kind of an accident. You had an 18-wheeler accident. I don't know. Whatever it is, you don't want this. Unless you're going to get a really, really big settlement. But if you're going to get a really big settlement, it's maybe something that drastic happened to you. You don't want that. But here's the deal. When you do have something that goes wrong in your life, if you're being charged with a crime, if immigration is on you, say, habla español over at the Morley Law Firm, they are going to give you the best care that you've got. And this is care because, hey, my life is at stake, or my money is at stake, or my freedom is at stake. I got to have people that are going to care. I got to have people that are going to give me the best opportunity to get out of my situation. And it's all at the Morley Law Firm. They've got the experience. They take care of everything. There's not something that they haven't seen. So make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955, or Morley Law, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. We got a full board as soon as somebody gets off. This has been a great segment. We want to know what it is that you learned this weekend. Doesn't matter what it's about, who it's about. It's all right now. 713-780-3776.
How about I
Anthony
run it?
Anthony is first up.
You want me to run this, John?
What did you learn this weekend?
Go ahead, Anthony. Anthony!
I learned that the Texans need to package all their first-round draft picks and skip ahead of the Colts because they suck too, and get Bryce Young.
Bryce Young. My son was down. My son went to the Alabama game. He goes to Alabama. He was down on Bryce Young. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis. There's going to be a lot of quarterbacks. And remember, based on the Jets beating Cleveland in Cleveland, I think that may end up being a pretty good pick too. The Texans, yeah, you're right. The Colts may need quarterbacks sooner rather than later. Matt Ryan almost died on the field yesterday.
May need help. They may need a quarterback. My goodness.
Yeah.
24-0 to Jacksonville.
It wasn't that close.
It wasn't that close.
It wasn't that close.
All right, let's get Thomas in here. Thomas, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that Shannon Dawson needs to update his resume.
Oh, wow.
That's Shannon the play call.
Shannon Dawson catching it.
Play caller for University of Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, that's yikes.
It ain't good right now.
No, it ain't good. It ain't good right now. No, it's not. It's got to get better. It's just got to get better. Carl, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Trust in Jimbo. Worst college football loss to the best in 1 week.
Well, I don't know if Miami's the best per se, but okay. That's what you learned? Okay. Yeah, Jimbo got it done, baby. You know what? If he'd have lost that game,
Max Johnson was quote. We'll get to that here in a second. 713-780-3776. Two lines are available. 713-780-3776. Ryan is next up. What's up, Ryan?
I know it's going to be blasphemy for Johnny G, but I learned that I like being sober. I just made better decisions.
You know what? Sometimes you do learn those things. Sometimes sobriety. How do you like that, John? That people do not associate you with sobriety at all.
What are you talking about? I give up alcohol every Lent.
And how do you do?
7 weeks. 7 weeks. Huh?
Do you think more clearly?
Yeah.
So you learn that too. You just don't choose to do anything with it.
Thinking clearly is overrated.
Not to the last caller, it's not.
I boo. You know what? I'm like a Bronco fan. I boo. Clear thinking, sober people. You're boring to me. Sorry.
You know what I learned?
Offense. You're boring to me.
I learned yesterday that Russell Wilson's 45.2% completion rating and 66.5% passer rating is his lowest completion percentage in a win with 30-plus pass attempts in his entire career.
Wow.
So
he wasn't good.
He was bad. Quarterback rating in the 66s. Let's get Ocho in here. What's up, Ocho?
Yeah, I learned that Grand Theft Auto 5 is the most profitable video game of all time at over $6 billion.
What? Wow. $6 billion for GTA 5?
Wow.
What? $6 billion?
$6 billion? With a B?
That is a ton. Let's get Mark in here. Now, see, I just learned something now. Every week, I learn things from What Did You Learn?
Absolutely.
Just a segment. Absolutely. What's up, Mark?
I learned don't hook up with a girl in your truck if you don't have tinted windows because everyone's going to see you.
Yeah, I already knew that. I didn't learn anything there. That's nothing new. I learned that. But he had to learn that the hard way. So
he knew.
I wonder what he meant by. Oh yeah, no. If it's non-tinted windows, yeah. No one could possibly see through glass.
Yeah, right. He knew.
How could anyone possibly see through glass unless you have frosted glass like on your door? When you open, you have on your door, you have frosted glass so people can't see in. That's probably not safe driving
or
with frosted glass.
If you steam up all the windows, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't doing a good enough job to steam the windows.
Let's get Tom in here. What's up, Tom?
I learned that there's no more disgusting people in the world than Cleveland Brown fans.
So did you see the mannequin, John? I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
Everybody saw it.
I guess Cleveland fans are leaning into this?
Yeah, they really are. They really are.
Based on some of the shirts?
Do you see some of the T-shirts that they're wearing?
Yeah, I was like, come on, this has to be an opposing team. But, boy, based on the way Cleveland is all for this, they're going to guess they're making their women available. I don't know what they're doing. I don't get a great read on Cleveland fan right now, to be honest with you.
Cleveland fan is just the a-hole. Cleveland fan.
Well, we knew, I mean, they're known for being a little rougher. I told you I was in the stands when my dad coached at Cleveland, me and Drake, and two Cleveland fans just immediately started fighting because one was wearing a Michigan shirt and that other Cleveland fan was an Ohio State fan. So their college rivalry completely overtook the Cleveland Brown thing.
I went to one game a couple of years ago when Zoe was there just to hang out with him for the weekend, and I'm sitting in the stands by myself, and I was like, oh my god!
Yeah, you can't believe the things they're saying,
screaming at the F-bombs at the ref, and I'm like, there's kids here.
No, they didn't. I was there with Drake when he was seven. I guess he was six or seven, and it did. I like the words we heard, and we were in the parents section, like we were in the wives section, and that's what you heard. Let's get underrated mess up next. What's up, underrated mess? How we doing?
Pretty good. I learned that if Aggie can get laid with their weird and awkward traditions, then anyone can.
Well, I mean, so for a lot of people, John, they learned there were some videos posted where a lot of people didn't know about some of the traditions out there, like the squeeze it thing.
Yeah.
That was a big shock and surprise to a lot of people. I've known about it for years.
Well, yeah, grabbing your.
Yeah, bouillons. Because you want to feel the same pain that the players on the field do.
Yeah. Well,
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't want to. I don't want to sure empathize with you to that level.
I don't think they get squeezed there. So you know what? You know what? Pound your head off of a wall. And
then yeah, no. Let's get Matt in here. What did you learn this weekend, Matt?
I learned that if Davis Mills is officially trash.
Yeah, that was simple, short, sweet, and simple right there. it's called Davis Mills trash. It's moved on. Frankly, I'm surprised we're just hearing this. We're like nine calls in. They're killing it today. What did you learn in one call is killing it? Let's get Richard. Richard is next up on what did you learn. One sentence, what did you learn this weekend, Richard?
Hey, this weekend I learned that there's a billionaire family in Houston that owns a major soccer club in Europe.
What? I didn't learn that this weekend. I learned it right now. Now I'm going to have to Google it. Do you know who that is, John? You ever heard that?
A billionaire in Houston.
A billionaire family in Houston who owns a soccer club, a European soccer club.
Well, I know Jeff Luneau just bought into a team.
In Mexico, though.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's not a billionaire.
He might be. You don't take it.
No,
you
I saw
that
his,
man's money.
No, I saw his salary.
You don't know that man.
James Harden's not even a billionaire, and James makes $40 million a year, and he's still not to a billy yet. He'll get there probably.
Oh, James will get there.
Yeah, he'll probably get there. Let's get a few more in here. Let's get PJ. PJ is going to be next up here on what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, I learned the Bengals spent a lot of money for our offensive line and didn't make any improvements.
It appears to be a true statement. Appears to be what we call facts, John. That appears to be facts.
No. He learned something, and it was a fact. It was a fact. Man, how do you lose to that team? Holy crap.
What did La Raza learn this weekend?
La Raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
Hey, ¿qué pasó, Juanito G? Lance, ¿qué pasó? Shout out to Mari. ¿Qué pasó, Mari? Well, I learned this weekend that I'm pretty and you're pretty thanks to Lance Zierlein. Thanks, man. I had the whole weekend.
Period. Yep, and there's been remixes of it that we'll have to play for you later as well. Yeah, I meant to do that, La Raza. That's what I was hoping would happen to you. It gets stuck in your head. And I did it a couple of times, John. There's a couple of times I literally just sitting there going, Last one.
I got rid of that right away.
Rick is going to be last up. What's up, Rick?
Hey, good morning, guys. This one is for Johnny G. I found out that the golf club of Houston is a mother.
Yes, sir. Oh, it'll give you it's all you can handle, brother. It's all you can handle. Okay, the PGA played there. Well, you think you're going to go in there and dominate that course? Stop. All right. Yeah, and it's going to give you all you can handle over there. That's right. You're right.
When we come back, John is live in Denver. I'm here back here in the studio. He went to the game. We're going to find out how that trip to Denver went in terms of just you personally, and then also in terms of the stadium, just everything surrounding areas. I like Denver. But then also we need to get into the game. And for those of you just joining us, or maybe you've been listening and you haven't heard as much Rockets, Texans, we're going to get back into that. It was a another one that you were competitive in, had a chance to win, and yet another one where you just, offensively, it's just not getting there. 7:58 right now here on the bench. 7:58, if you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to start off the next hour. QC Kinetics is something I want to tell you about right now, because at QC Kinetics, I can promise you that what they're doing is making a difference in the life of so many people out there, including my very own wife. QC Kinetics has done an amazing job of conveying to us exactly what they want to do for people like my wife who have bone-on-bone knee issues. If you're living with joint pain from injury or arthritis, you don't have to let people tell you that steroids are the only way to go. That's a temporary solution to reduce inflammation, and then it goes away. And then you're waiting for the next time that you can get your next shot. Maybe you're looking for your surgery to make things right. How about you use biological, all-natural therapies where you use the body's healing process, you hyper-concentrate it, you put it back into the joints, and now all of a sudden, here's your body working overtime again to regenerate and restore damaged tissue. This is how you're able to, you know, lessen the pain. This is how you're able to increase and improve your mobility. Don't you want to get back to being as active as you always have been? Well, regenerative treatments can restore and repair that damaged tissue and get you back on the right track. Make sure that you call QC Kinetics today at 713-913-5285. I trust my wife's health. She's a marathon runner. With going to QC Kinetics, I promise you, you need to make the same phone call. She's two steps into a five-step process, and we couldn't be happier so far. It has been great. 713-913-5285. That's QCKinetics.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.